This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, we want to welcome in a guy that you can follow on Twitter at Jason H. Butt. He covers the Falcons on a daily basis. He's been up there covering them, obviously, during this mini camp period over the last 3 days. And, Jason, we appreciate you jumping on with us here on Dukes and Bell. What did you take out of these last 3 days? I know today was the last day, but what did you see and what are you taking from it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. The mini camp is built up as everybody's going to be here, and the Warren NCAA has to be here, and Julian's here, and then you get started, and nobody knows, nobody of importance in terms of star power really does much. All the big names are kind of held out. A lot of rookies, a lot of work for the young guys. I think that, you know, guys like Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, Kendall Sheffield, those kind of guys, that they got some good work. Especially those two offensive linemen, they got to get all they can, given the fact that they very well could be called upon to start, you know, whether it's day one or at some point this season.
And that's the thing. But we were talking about this from the jump with Caleb McGarry, who, again, he's got the edge, got a little bit of nastiness in him, which is nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, if you're drafted in the first round, even at the last part of the first round, Jason, he's got to find a way to beat out Sombrello, right?
You would think. You trade back into the first round after taking a guy at 14 and you give up some picks to go take another offensive lineman at 31. You think they would give him every chance in the world to start. One thing that I do think that this team truly did have in mind, even though they took two offensive linemen, if something happens and they feel like he's not ready, they wanted to ensure that they had guys that they could count on. You know, somebody like Sombrella, somebody like the two guards that they brought in free agency, Carpenter and Brown. Last year's situation with the injuries up front kind of scarred this team to where they couldn't overcome the injuries, especially in the interior. And therefore, you saw the moves that they've made to bolster the depth of the offensive line to where if they have injuries or if one of the rookies isn't ready to go, they'll have guys they can count on. But yeah, you would think that the fact that they did take an offensive lineman 31st and gave up some picks to do so, given his size, his tape, what they like about him, that he'll have every chance in the world to start. It'll really be on him to ensure that they feel comfortable with him on by the time the season starts.
Jason, you wrote this piece about Dan Quinn and self-evaluation. Was this more reflective on him or what he thought about his coaching staff and what he had to tell them to maybe get the best out of them?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think that one thing that gets lost when it comes to Dan Quinn as a coach, as a leader of this team, is how pragmatic and he is. He obviously, when we see him in front of a camera, he's going to always have a positive spin. You're going to hear kind of a rah-rah a speech of sorts at times. Even when they lose, it sounds like he's patting guys on the back. But yeah, at the end of the day, when the cameras are off, that's really not who he is. There's definitely a competitive side. There's definitely a guy who hates losing. He's maybe not going to scream and berate and curse out a player or a coach to a level of where he's going to demean somebody, but he definitely has this edge to where he doesn't want things to repeat itself. He's going to praise guys publicly, but then at the end of the day, he might have to fire them. And there's the one thing that kind of stands out is the fact that the players, the coaches, have this mutual respect for the guy. And it sounds like when you talk to a bunch of assistants, it's easy to maybe think, okay, well, are they just putting on a show? Do they just want to say these things about the guy because they want to make him look good? But that's really not the feeling I got. And then there are countless times where you might talk to somebody and it's an unsolicited comment about what he's done, what he means to them. And so, I think the other part of it too is I think there's a sense of of Dan Quinn wanting to maybe protect, you know, the team, kind of like the team's his baby, and therefore when you do see him in the public arena, it's definitely a side of him, and that side is accurate, but it's not the complete picture.
It is Jason Butt, guys. You can read the article. Follow him, by the way, on Twitter at Jason H. Butt and see what he's got about the Falcons as a Falcon insider. We talked about this before you came on, and I read the article. Great stuff about Dan, and we joked around. There's nothing worse than your dad saying, you've really disappointed me. But what about Marquand?
Right.
The thing I couldn't understand is the defense was so good with Marquand Manuel, it didn't seem like the compass was off in 17, and then obviously the injuries exacerbated whatever they were trying to do, but that one kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I thought Marquand was on pace to becoming a head coach in this league.
Well, I think one thing you have to consider is that in the NFL, the good defensive coordinators, I don't mean this as a slight to Marquand at all. I mean, he was a great guy to cover and a super nice guy and everything, but the great defensive coordinators find ways to adjust when a slew of injuries occur. And that didn't happen. Yeah, they were massive at the start of the year. I mean, any team that loses the guys that they lost in the first 3 weeks, you're talking about two safeties, a middle linebacker, and then you had Grady out for a few weeks. When that happens, you're going to expect to take your lumps. But there were times that, you know, the Bengals game was the one that stood out where you just had guys looking lost.
Right.
That game was one where, yeah, you dealt with the injuries, but these are still professional football players. They still need to be in position. They don't need to be looking around at each other and wondering what the hell's going on and all that. So, you know, part of me wonders, given what we saw when adversity struck this team last year, you know, was Marquand truly up to the challenge? And clearly, that's one of those things where it goes back to the story where, you know, publicly, all he did was say good things about Marquand Manuel. It gave everybody the impression that Marquand Manuel was a good fit for this team. Behind closed doors, he makes the decision to let him go because, you know, in the long run, that's, in his eyes, what he saw as the, you know, what would be better for the program.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, change is never easy. And, you know, for guys that you consider to be your guys, right? I'm not going to say your boys because, as you said, at some point you got to fire them or maybe move on from them. But we all felt like Marquand was his guy, or one of them at least. It takes some stones to move on from that and then to, you know, have the gall that Dan does to say, hey, this was better for the team. Here's the deal. We won't know that until this season. We won't know if it was better until things like our defense being better under Coach Quinn now officially is better. It is Jason Butt joining us. As we talk about this, you know, offensive line, Matt Ryan, we had a soundbite from Matt saying he feels like he's in the best shape of his career. I know he spoke to the media yesterday. Did you take anything from what Matt had to say about where he's at and what he feels like this team is going to be?
He seems really excited and enthused to be working with Dirk Koetter again. I know the few times that he stepped up there, you know, during this off season, that you just kind of see that look in his eye that he's happy to have a coordinator who he trusts, you know, to have somebody who knows what he likes, what he dislikes. You know, they're still going to, in terms of the basic principles of the offense, it's still going to be the same kind of, you know, Kyle Shanahan type stuff, you know, wide zone, inside zone, play action, try to hit deep balls, with a Dirk Koetter twist to it. That was one thing I took away from. We had offensive coaches availability with, you know, Dirk Koetter, Mike Mularkey, and those guys saying that they were actually adjusting to the offense that is in place as opposed to them putting in what their preferred schemes would be otherwise. But the thing with Matt Ryan is it seems like he, you know, you take what's there in place, what's worked in recent years, and you add a guy like Dirk Koetter to the mix. And, you know, the fact that he knows what's good for his body at this age, he knows how to, you know, how to prepare and train in an off season. And it seems like he's got a lot of confidence heading into this year. And it certainly helps when you have the kind of receivers and running back that he has at his disposal. And obviously for him, the key will be the offensive line, as we mentioned earlier. Will that offensive line be improved? Will it be able to give him plenty of time to be able to make those plays that, you know, routinely without, you know, being put on his backside time and again like he was a year ago?
Jason Butt with us, guys. Follow him on Twitter. Read his articles, Jason H. Butt, and see what he's talking about the Falcons. You mentioned Matt and the balanced attack hopefully this year because we got a beefed up O-line. And again, we're trying to get through DQ's BS filter, but is Free looking that good? Is Devontae Freeman really looking like 15-16 form right now?
Yeah, it's tough to tell when you're in shorts and helmets and you don't see the live action. He looks the part. He looks like he's in shape. He's running fast. He's made some nice plays, I'd say, as a receiver out of the backfield. That's one thing that's caught my eye this preseason. But when it comes to the actual running game, it's just too tough to tell. I would hate to say he's looking great, but all of a sudden you get to the early part of the season and it doesn't look good at all. But the thing is, previous seasons have shown that when that guy's on, he's on. And he's a difference maker because he can do so many things. He runs with power. He's got speed. He can catch the ball. He can flank out as a slot receiver. So having him as a weapon he truly is what, in my opinion, what really helps make this offense go. And they missed him more than they could have thought last year because the how well-rounded he is.
Right.
Sometimes I think is underrated, compared to some of the other running backs that Atlanta has had in recent years. And so they paid him for a reason. And now that Tevin Coleman's gone, I expect if he's healthy, he'll get plenty of reps. It really should be a timeshare at this point, at least in my opinion.
Right.
Just feed the beast and let him do his thing. And, as long as he stays healthy, I do expect him to have a pretty big year.
Jason, last thing for me, as we head to camp, now officially July 22nd, what are you going to be watching? As we start camp, what's the thing that you think is the most important thing as camp starts for our Falcons?
I think it's two things, really. And it's, we talked about the offensive line. Is it going to be, the unit that can show improvement? Is it the group that can protect Matt Ryan? Is it the group that can get a consistent push in the run game? But then on top of that, I wonder how the secondary, we've talked a lot about the D-line and all that, and I think that will sort itself out in the long run. But I really do wonder about this secondary. Struggled at times last year. Trufant, by all accounts, has had a pretty good offseason. Obviously now with Robert Alford gone, Isaiah Oliver has to step up. DeMonte Casey's moving to nickel. Two safeties are coming off major injuries. So how are they going to gel together, is that a group that they can work around some of those early issues and maybe some early kinks in the preseason to field a solid unit once the regular season starts? I think really offensive line and secondary, those are the areas that I'll be paying close attention to once late July rolls around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.